Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Patriots Helping Patriots News Network here on Rumble and BBS Radio and TV. I'm your host, Jess Jody, and today we are live from my home state of Michigan. That is right. I got another Michigander in the house. I'm so excited to tell you guys about. Great show planned, exceptional guest, and that's right, Mr. Justin Barclay is here. He is a frequent guest host for the nationally syndicated Glenn Beck program and the host of his own radio program. It's actually called West Michigan Live with Justin Barclay and the After Show podcast. He's written a new book I can't wait to hear about called Good News, Hope and Encouragement for Trying Times. So up my alley. I'm going to need this book, you guys. He's been heard in major markets all across the country. Let's talk Philly, Detroit, Tampa, Cincinnati, Louisville. But he still fondly calls West Michigan, Grand Rapids, his home. He's a frequent guest host, like I said, of Glenn Beck. And today he is here with Just Jody on the Patriots Helping Patriots Network. Let's bring him in. There you are, Mr. Justin Barclay. Welcome.
Thank you, Jody. Fellow Michigander. That's what we call each other here. Love it.
I'm like, where are we at? Over here on the map.
And so, by the way, this is new too. I'm actually on the radio in your neck of the woods in Detroit in that area now, and you can pick me up on the radio. There's a radio station called 910 AM. It's Detroit's news talk superstation. So I do the morning show there from 6 to 9. Then we've got the Glenn Beck program and then Clay and Buck and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly, all those guys.
So exciting. That is awesome. Yeah. I can't wait to turn you on. That's on my drive to school, dropping kids off.
You know, we need it in this state. We need it now more than ever, I think. You know?
We really do. Justin, it has been the most incredible time with the most, I don't know if I'm traumatized or if I am been reborn in my faith. I'm trying to figure that out these days. I really started off on such a positive mission on my Java with Just Jody show. That's a different show. And it's really focused on positivity. So when I was reading through your stuff, I was like, oh, this is somebody I'm going to need to listen to all the time. He's so in my neck of the woods and up my alley. And I was really excited about that because it sounds like you try to find what's great in the world too. And we're not just focusing on the torment of, you know, like Jocelyn Benson in Michigan or Witchmer or any of those people.
Well, you know, it's like a double-edged sword because I feel like we can't sugarcoat it, right? You can't stick your head in the sand like an ostrich. We got to be informed. We got to be engaged. We got to know what's going on. And I just tell people, I want you to know the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because I think the more information you have, the better decisions you can make for you and your family. In fact, that's how this whole thing is supposed to work. The founders knew that we had to be well-informed citizens. Otherwise, we could get pulled in any different directions, and we're seeing that with the media on a daily basis. Today, they are out there running around. She was the, like, least popular of all time polled when it comes to, vice presidents and everyone else. Joe Biden was so – the only one less popular than him was Kamala Harris. And for the last month or two, they've been running around now trying to convince us that she's like the next best thing since sliced bread. And, of course, thankfully, I don't think people are buying it. We can talk polls and all that later. But even in Michigan, it's looking really good. Things are looking up. But you have to have people – actually engaged, informed, and aware, because if you don't, then you can have this type of psyop that's working right now. You can have that become very successful. But I think things are so bad right now in reality terms that the good news is that people are forced. They can't help but really pay attention to all of the things that are happening and it's hitting them right in the face. When you're trying to put food on the table, you know, and gas in the car and all those things, it's hard to ignore it, isn't it? I mean, that's the reality of it.
I'll say having kids, I really see the difference even with school shopping. Mm-hmm. Like, that was insane. I mean, everything, you know, I got three girls in school. Yeah. One of them requires a lot of medical. She has Dravet syndrome. So, like, there's a big situation already with her medical disabilities. So we're out just, like, getting, like, their shoes. I'm like, why is it going to cost me $400 for three pairs of shoes in America?
I know.
Like, are you kidding me? Like, backpacks and all this stuff is doubled. And I thought, well, our seniors at the high school did something brilliant. You know what they voted? Go back to your favorite backpack when you were a kid. So they're walking around with dinosaurs and Dora and all these things in their, you know, $15 and $20 backpacks instead of the $100 North Face whatever, you know. That's, I was like, funny. Yes, let's do this.
Well, almost four and almost two. But we still do. They have, like, these secondhand kid stores or whatever, and we try to get everything we can in there. Not talking about high school. And I think, I wonder if I could pull this off. We're doing some homeschooling right now, and we just got a couple of nice outfits, like, you know, a couple of new things here. So they can do it. But you have enough to rotate for when we come together and do the co-op days. And I said, everything else, we could just go and we could do the – and get as nice as we can, you know. And, like, we've really done, really, I think, a great job of trying to – you know, be as frugal as possible because you don't know what's coming. You know, you try to take advantage of those things. But I was just thinking about that. Can I do that in the high school? I know when I was in high school, that never, like, I would have never.
So been. Now you'll be surprised how frugal the kids actually are about some things. So the only thing, there's certain things you can't do. You can't do shoes. You can't do new coats usually that are, well, like their varsity jackets. Okay. Yeah. Like, no. I mean, that was stupid. $500 for a coat? I mean, I think that thing cost $80 when I was in high school, Justin. You know, it was so stupid. You know, there's certain things you can't get away with it. But my girls are pretty frugal, like having me for a mom. And they'll, like, find, you know, brand new things with tags online at secondhand places. And they're like, she won't take me to Lululemon for the $110 leggings. I'm like, no. Nobody needs $110 yoga pants, and then you're going to call them an outfit. Get out of here, chick. You know, ain't going to happen, sister. So she'll find them at, like, Poshmark, you know, half off, and will you get these? And, you know, we'll do something like that with it because you can't. It's crazy. And when did we have to be here in this situation? You know, my husband worked almost 30 years in law enforcement. And commander of the SWAT team, he retires, takes the job of the chief of the college, then he has to run for mayor because the world's falling apart. And I'm like, financially, we thought we were good. But when you have young kids, you better keep working. You better keep working at our age. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't get to retire at 50. You can't. You can't afford it. So here we are back in. Yeah. To the workforces, you know, and doing our part to hopefully make a difference in the country as well. And and for anything else, watching our family know how important it is. Yeah. That has become really significant. And my youngest was about four when I was kind of talking a little here and there. And then she was eight when I really took off with broadcasting. So you're hitting those years where they're going to go, wow, look at dad. In a couple of years, like, this is awesome, you know?
My four-year-old is kind of she's almost four, but she's kind of a ham, and she loves people, and she loves, and she's a handful anyway, but she's just amazing. So she will, if I'm doing stuff from home or even when I'm going, like, but it's kind of weird to think about this, but my mind sort of, I can't imagine hearing dad, but she's in the car, she'll hear dad on the radio, or my wife will bring her up, you know? At home and bring it on sometimes, and they'll listen to us. And she's, is that daddy? Is he talking to the people? And, you know, she'll talk, you know, and she'll ask. And so they get it. They kind of get it in some ways. And I hope they do, because that's why we're doing this. I don't know about you, but politics was not like I've been doing radio ever since I was a kid in high school. And it was never the thing that I wanted to talk about, politics, but it seems like, you know, the last several years specifically, that we've got no choice. And I just feel like it's either this or we lose it all. So, you know, back in 2020 where the world was kind of crumbling, and I posted this thing today on Facebook, but it says, remember when they outlawed fresh air and sunshine because they cared about your health? And it's a park bench all like taped up. And it's so crazy that even now that seems like alien, but it happened. Yeah. And they were taping up the, and now with kids, I understand how crazy this is even more so, but they were taping up playgrounds and they wouldn't let you go. And they were arresting people for taking their kids to the playground, you know, and our kids couldn't live without a playground.
No. I remember thinking, what, you know, Michigan, we're surrounded by water. Most people have boats or they know somebody or you got a jet ski or you can just do an afternoon activity. Mm-hmm. I happen to be off Lake Erie and the river, kayaking the whole town to get in the water if you wanted to during that time. I'm like, there's nobody around. What are you talking about? You're not allowed to fill up your boat with gas and you're not allowed to get in the water. We thought, this is the craziest thing. We can't go to the lake and sit there. Are you kidding me? Nobody's here. Like, what if you own a lake? Are you allowed to put your boat in your own little pond lake, you know?
That our governor, if people don't know, look her up. Her name's Gretchen Whitmer. She's the Wolverine Queen. She is a piece of work. She made these proclamations, these executive orders she'd come out with and tell everybody what they could and couldn't do. They were all illegal. Since the Supreme Court in Michigan had ruled that they were all illegal, but she had these rules that you could go out on a boat if the boat didn't have a motor on it. But if it had a motor, you couldn't go out in it, and you couldn't go out on that boat with anybody who was not in your family. Like, if somebody was out of your immediate family, could not go on the boat with them, you'd be arrested or thrown in jail or something. You could buy pot at the pot store. Now, that's here and there, but you couldn't buy potted plants at the hardware store or the, you know, couldn't buy seeds.
I wasn't allowed to buy paint to paint my house while I'm in lockdown.
None of it makes sense. None of it.
So I'm like, where am I going to go to get paint? Because this is happening. Like, if I got to drive to another state, I'm about to go.
But that, Jody, you know that's exactly what people were doing. They were going to other states. They were saying, enough of this. And Indiana, I mean, you're close to Ohio where you are, but people were going to Indiana and Ohio, depending upon, you know, just to get a haircut. Just to get a haircut. I remember when the mission was... They wouldn't let the landscape people go out and mow grass and things like this. And they had to get together as a industry and say, look, if we don't do this, you're going to have all kinds of problems from critters and infestations and this, that, and the other thing. And the dental folks had to get together and say, we know how to do this. We can get this done. Please let us do what we know how to do. But they were crazy. They did everything. And again, this is why when I talk about and you say, like, why are we doing what we're doing? And this is why. It's because if we don't – this election, if we don't go – take everything, every opportunity we can, if we don't make it count, I don't know that there will be another one. And what I mean by that is I don't know that it will matter. Because you won't be able to say what you want to say. I can't imagine – Twitter or X, which say what you want, think what you will about Elon Musk, but and the jury's still kind of out for me on him. But if Twitter or X wasn't around right now for us to have an outlet, I don't think, you know, we'd have Rumble, we'd have Locals, we'd have a couple of Truth and Gab and Getter and some of these others. But like the massive impact that Truth or X makes is so you can't. The stories today, just today alone, we had stories that migrants from Haiti in Ohio, not far from you, have taken over the Springfield, Ohio, the city of Springfield, and they are going to the park and they are grabbing geese and killing them, cutting their heads off at the park and bringing them home to eat. Police body cam footage came back where a cop comes to the scene and there's a woman from Haiti who's on the ground. It like looks like her driveway at this apartment complex or wherever she is. And she's got a cat that she's killed and is eating in the driveway. Oh. And the neighbors are called and the guy's talking. He goes, what happened? She was eating. Yes, she was eating the cat, they're saying. But this is happening in Ohio. They have taken.
This is okay in our country.
15 to 20,000 people have come into the small town of 60,000. So, like, a third of the people are from Haiti now. And it's taken over that area. So I was saying to myself, you know, the Venezuelan gangs taking over the apartments in Aurora, Colorado. That's so last week. We have people eating pets, and they're warning about this. There are people eating pets. If we don't, they won't stop it. If we don't win this, none of this is going to matter. And look, you say, well, that's just a cat or that's just a dog or they're eating geese or whatever. But there's so much more than this. The story after story of the crime that's happening, story after story. And I don't know, maybe Kamala's cat ladies for Kamala are going to come over and they're going to go for Trump. Now he's going to make cats safe again. I don't know what's going to happen. Right. But I can see that in this day and age. People, if we're getting grabbing Kennedys and cat ladies, it's going to happen. I'm telling you, Trump's taking over. But the point is that if you can't see it by now, I don't really know who – I don't know how long – but this is it. This is the last hurrah. Mm-hmm. And we've got people – in fact, there was another story. I think it was – I was Boston, some of that area today. Maybe I could be wrong, but it was another one where a 20-year-old grabbed a kid off of the street, pulled her into the car. The only reason we know about it is she escaped. She jumped out of the car, tuck and rolled, and she survived and got away. They've arrested this guy. I said, this is what I brought up. And I'm a Christian. I love people. But what do you do with that person? What do we do with the person who thinks it's okay, that brain is broken? What do we do with that person who thinks it's okay, I'm going to grab a kid off the street? What do we do with the person who says, it's okay for me to eat the family pet? I don't know. And we have cultures clashing now and colliding at a rate that it's Cloward and Piven. This is the strategy that they're putting into place. And we're seeing it play out. And they've been warning about it. Glenn has been warning. Many others have been warning about this for years now, and they all called him crazy, tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist. It's happening right in front of our faces right now.
That's so true. It's so true. This cat thing really freaks me out, and the geese thing. I mean, imagine being at the park with your kids and they see this. Oh my God, my daughters would be traumatized. My son, is older, so he would be like, I'm about to hurt somebody right now.
There is a picture of a man walking down the street with the goose in his hand. And he's just like walking down the street like it's any other day. And
like it's a hunting zone.
Do you know who Savannah Hernandez is? She's great. She does great investigative reporting. Look her up on Twitter. She's great.
Okay,
but she posted this picture of the guy and like he's walking down the street like he's holding a fresh bag from Chick-fil-A. You know, it's like
so wrong.
World that we live in. How do you come back from this?
This is third world country stuff.
It is.
And I hope America is seeing this. If they're actually paying attention and they're seeing this and we keep exposing it by election day, maybe they'll realize we didn't have this stuff 4 years ago and 6 years ago and 8 years ago. Nobody was walking around the park, stealing a geese, killing it, taking it home and eating cat in a driveway because they're hungry and there's something wrong with them. And yes, the scariness about people just grabbing the children, right? I mean, that's really bold stuff. We're seeing it done while they're with their parents 5 feet away, you know? Yeah. And they literally act like they're in their country where they get away with this. And now they're beginning to get away with it here. So
I'm telling my wife, like, I see you don't understand. We don't live in the same place. I know, like, where we live, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's a great place to live. Yeah. But it's not the same place as it was even a year ago.
No.
Even maybe a few months ago. And so we've got to be very aware of that. You got to be situationally aware when you're out. All of these things. So I tell you all this because you said, well, he wrote a book about good news. And none of this.
Yeah, I want to talk about this. Tell me about the good news. No, it fits perfect with today's conversations. So, tell me about the book and where we can find it also. But how did this come about for you? You said you were in broadcasting early on as a teenager. Did you guys have a radio show there at school?
Yeah, we had a radio station. We, were able to operate. And
it was like
full on radio. Yes, it was so cool.
W-E-J-Y, Jamming with Jody.
There you go. Jamming with Jody. I love it.
30 years later, I'm back to a politics.
But see, I mean, it was so cool because who knows? You know, God just planted these seeds for you. You never knew, right? You didn't know where they were going to go. But he had to plan, I think, the whole time. And I think I've seen that in my life, too. I talk about it in the book, about how looking back, you know, Steve Jobs used to say, like, you never understand life until you see it. When you're looking back, the dots will connect. And that's what I saw, is the dots connecting. And for me, I'll connect them for you real quickly. Like, back in 2020, I told you, like, the world's going crazy. Everything's falling apart. And we found ourselves in a really crazy place. We thought for the first time, you know, we've been together for like almost 10 years at that point. We thought, well, it's just we're going to have our first kid right in the middle of all this craziness. Either that or we were really bored, you know, and we figured it out. We were like, okay, we're going to get around this boredom. But we had our first, and she was born 3 months early. And so 27 weeks is what it was from the day my wife's water broke to the day we brought our little girl home. Mm. Was 77 days is how long we spent in the hospital. Oh. And I will tell you, I've never been through so much. But I will say this, and this is where that good news comes from, is that through it all, we felt God's hand on us through the whole thing. Yeah. And I would get asked questions like, you know, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen there? What's the, you know, the election, everything through after the election. I was sitting in the hospital. I still remember sitting there watching everything go down with, on January 6th, watching it all play out. I thought, wow. At the end of the day, what do you do? You know, how can you deal with all of this? And I found a couple of things that just gave me the solace, that gave me the ability to work through it all. And that's what I write about. No matter what's happening. Every time somebody would ask me, no matter what, and we're still going through things today, and I think it's even more important today.
Yeah. Finding that calm, right?
Happening in the world.
Finding the calm in that storm I read about your book, and I was like, that is really something we need. Regardless of what happens, we need these encouraging words in written formation. We're seeing a lot of what we do turn into a spiral of, like, you know, I'll be Miss Mark Levin, God bless him, love what he does, but he's like screaming at me. I'm like, dude, calm down, don't stroke out right now, just chill, you know, like, while we're listening. And then I'm like, okay, there was nothing positive, there was nothing encouraging, he's the bulldog going at it, so we need that too. However, that doesn't speak to everyone, right? Deliverance is everything. Everybody accepts a different deliverance. So your book sounds like something that's going to really speak to me, and I can't wait. How long did it take you to like put this together while you were in the hospital? And is that when you were thinking about it?
It was very fast. It came back. It actually came afterwards in 2021. I just sat down and write it. I didn't want to write the perfect book. I couldn't for years figure out, how do I write a book? I want to write a book. I had several different ideas about things. And then it just came to me, and I just feel like it downloaded, like the Lord just sort of downloaded. I sat down, did it. I said, don't worry about getting it perfect. Just get it out and get it into the hands of people. People need it. And it's got some spelling errors and things here and there. We're about ready to tune it up and add some things for today, but it is timeless. It came back to this over and over and over again. And this last time around this summer, I was asked to speak at church, and I kept coming. So I got to come up with something new. As God kept pulling me back into this, and I realized, man, it's people need this, because every day, and we've certainly been through a lot, but every day the world's shaking. It is. But I think it's increasing in our time, and it's going to get even worse. But if you build your house on the foundation, that solid rock, then you're not you don't have to worry about. You may not even feel the shaking anywhere else.
Right, right. That is so true. I don't know what I would do without God within all the time right now. It's very comforting. Yeah, it's fearlessness. Like, I don't really know anything that I'm afraid of other than something going wrong with a child of mine, you know? Other than that, the fearlessness is there, and you don't have that without faith, I don't think. If you're not really invested in faith as God's, you know, calling comes upon us, I don't know how people do it. So I do spend a lot of time talking about not just Christianity, but God in general and spiritualism. And that was a surprise to me that my old Bible school days would come back and I would be relaying that to thousands of people a week. Like, oh, hey, let's talk about David, you know, because I have a similar story, you know?
Yeah.
So there's things there that I just didn't see. And you're so right. How he plants the seed and it carries over into our life day after day. And when you look back, when you get to be my age, cause I'm much older than you, looking back, I'm like, wow, just that, you know, one sentence you said, I can probably connect dots for hours and hours of things that have occurred, right down to never having worked with developmental disabled individuals until I was like 20, 21. And when that occurred, I did not know anything about seizures or the plans, or later had a daughter born. And I knew perfectly how to take care of her, you know? Wow. So it was amazing to me that I had all this knowledge, you know, and yeah, it's pretty interesting. I like that. Where are we going to be able to get your book?
You can get it everywhere. It's on Amazon. Yeah. It's on in all the bookstores. If you come to me, if you go to my website, I'll sign it and send a copy your way. Love to do that. I even have an audio book. So I did,
are you Justin
Barclay.com?
I'm gonna put
it up. Justin Barclay.com, B-A-R-C-L-A-Y. You can get access to all of that stuff there. But yeah, I did the audiobook where I actually added some little extras into it. But we are gonna update it at some point. We're working on some things right now. Grab it for real cheap. I think it's like did a deep discount on it the other day. I don't remember, just because I had a few copies that we're just getting rid of before we bring in the new stuff. So,
right. Well, I'm excited. I'm definitely, it didn't go up. Let me see. Here we go. Come on. All right, you guys, visit justinbarclay.com for the book and everything else, Justin Barclay. Just, I'm going to tell you now, and I'm going to tell you again later. So, I'm really, really interested in that, but I'm also one who likes to purchase, show the support, and then mail it to you and have you sign in, because sure. I think it's really important that we're supporting each other in this movement right now. You know, I believe in the parallel economy and creating that from within. And I try to do what I can with almost everyone we know. We know how expensive it can get with everything else we're doing. And there is a lot of traveling expenses involved when you do what you do and I do. So, you know, which reminds me, I hate to do this to you, but we have to have a word for my sponsor. The only gold and silver precious metal company that I do purchase from and that I do believe in, they are Christian owned, Patriot Christian operated. And here we go for a quick 60 seconds.
In the political and financial markets, there has never been a better time than right now to invest in silver and gold. When governments simply print billions of dollars in paper money in hopes of solving financial shortfalls, you know that it is time to buy and hold assets of true and lasting value. Free information is available to you right now by calling 888-747-3309. Whether you are a new investor or you're interested in preserving the value of your retirement account, accounts, we make it easy for you to make smart decisions for your financial future. The specialists at Cornerstone are here to serve you, work to satisfy your retirement goals, and communicate with respect. Call us right now at 888-747-3309. That's 888-747-3309. Or visit us online at cornerstoneassetmetals.com. That's cornerstoneassetmetals.com.
All right. Thank you all so much. So, hey, Justin, what about the debate? What's the big plan? Yeah. Are you going to do commentary or anything?
I was thinking about it, but I get up so early that, you know, I just, I may not. And everybody's doing it. Like, everybody's doing that thing now, which I love. It's like Mystery Science Theater 3000. Everybody's like commenting on the thing. And I think it is cool. But I think I'm not going to do that, but I will talk about it plenty on Wednesday. I wonder, my question is, do you think she's going to show up?
I know, right? I kept thinking that yesterday. I was like, how is she going to stand with him? Like, no cue cards, no nothing. Like, how can she, if he couldn't even hold a flame, what is she?
Yeah.
Do from the burden, from the past, from within that has.
Hey, you know, it's interesting. The polling right now is so bad for her, and he's gone up. He's actually had some increases with his polling in the last 2 days. Apparently, he's pulled ahead in a couple of other places, and going into this, it's really bad for her. And I don't know how she comes out of it. The honeymoon is over. 3-point shift back to Trump before debate, they said. Kennedy helped Trump's numbers. All the polling internals of Trump retaking the lead after the New York Times Siena poll. To me, and then what would it, Friday they came out and said, well, we're not going to sentence him in this bookkeeping lawfare fiasco that they got out in New York. So, to me, I just don't know how she comes out ahead here at all. I think he's going to have a control of the facts. I think he's going to be able to make the case. Look, things are horrible. Look at look just like right in front of your face at what you're dealing with. Everything from crime to the cost of everything. The only thing, and he got this big win of having the microphones muted. Yeah. But we had Eric Trump on Friday, and Eric talked about the speech that he gave in New York the day before. And what's interesting is I told him, I said, you know, your father's kind of got, he can talk to anybody. And he was in that room giving this very sort of just, you know, it's kind of like a presidential sort of muted, softer speech to a certain crowd. But then you get out in front of the people at the rally and he's like a stand-up comedian, you know?
I know. It's amazing to me. When they used to call him a showman, I would get mad. And then I thought, you know what? It's just because he can relate to, like, everyone. Yeah. And I happen to enjoy that. I love to watch him talk to children. And be sweet little Grandpa Trump, you know. I love to watch him interact with veterans that are older than him that he has so much respect for. Mm-hmm. And then turn around with somebody who can cut up or a 20-year-old and have a blast with them too. I'll have to say I really, really enjoyed his Aiden Ross interview, if you didn't see that. Mm-hmm. Did you? Yeah, with, you know, it's, getting in the Tesla.
It's brilliant to put him in the room with these people to be able to see, you know, a different side of him. And I think, by the way, I think what we're watching here is the, like, really the demise, the collapse of the mainstream media. Because, you know, they're proving themselves more and more just worthless every day, irrelevant, really, because he can hit millions and millions of people and young people, as you were just talking about earlier about your kids and what they're like in that age. And that these kids, these younger kids, they're a lot of them are turning out to be more and more conservative than we ever would have imagined. And they're able to reach these kids with this message and from these streamers who are like, you know, they're the new Walter Cronkite, you know, the new anchors on CNN or whatever. It's wild to me. And she can't even have a conversation with her emotional support Marxist Tim Walz sitting next to her. They're asking all the softball questions on ABC. It's gonna be interesting.
I'm listening to her and I'm like, the hardest tomorrow, if she does, be hearing her tone. Something is not right for me with that. And I don't usually have that problem. We speak to a lot of people, but that cackle, there's something in that frequency that I just can't tolerate. I don't know what it is. And I think there's that. So I'm like, what is she going to do? Just laugh it off and act like she's the border Caesar and she's done all this stuff and she has yet to be there. And, you know, I mean, like, how is this going to be okay that they're having this debate? I expected her to say, I won't debate him, because she knows she can't. Mm-hmm. Come on. You just can't. You can't hold a plane to this man. I mean,
I thought they would do something similar, right? And especially with Biden. And they had the whole, well, we can't, you know, he's a insurrectionist and he's a felon. And we don't want to even dignify and all this other stuff. They didn't. And they I think it shows you how bad the polling is. I'll say a couple of things. Number one, I think they're only doing this stuff, and I think they pushed the sentencing back. I fully expected them to try to lock him up. I think they would have if it was closer for them, but because it is so bad, I think they've learned every time they've done something like the Mar-a-Lago raid, et cetera, it's only boosted his polls. So I think it's only going to juice him up even more, and they've realized that. So they decided, let's hold that, and then we can do something afterwards.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Think about it this way, and I have to kind of strategize, but – and I hate to think about the negative things, but this is possible. He wins, but there's a period of time now between whoever is in that office. Mm-hmm. Because there's some people saying that they think the October surprise coming is that Joe's going to step down, Kamala's going to become president.
Yeah. He's missing. He's beaching or whatever.
And I said from the beginning, I said, look, why? The only thing, the reason I tell you why this isn't serious, why they're not serious about her, is because if they do this now and she just becomes president, then they lose the appeal of getting people to go out and vote, to become part of history, to put her in there. But I think you're going to see them get more and more desperate. They're backed up into a corner. They're up against a wall. They're going to do anything and everything they can. So that somebody said October, they might try to put her in. So I say, whether it's her or Joe, but then there's a time between when he wins to when he's inaugurated. And that time is going to be a time we all need to pray for this country and be vigilant and on alert, because anything could happen. And we're going to be very, very vulnerable at that moment.
I think so. And, you know, you actually really, really put that into perspective. That's something we need right now as well. And it's not really negative to like call out the perspective of things. And I appreciate it for sure. I've never really thought about, I have heard, you know, the possibility of her sliding in and Joe's disappearing act is, you know, he's going to step down or whatever. And I'm like, Jill letting him did that, they're swiped to the side. And I mean, he's literally missing. And we literally do not know who's running the country. You know, so I mean, we know it's a elite gang of some sort. But without getting into all of that, I'll just say that here we are with less than what are we, 50 days? I don't even, 50 days, something like that. Away. Days. Yeah. And I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, this is make or break America, period.
Yeah, it is.
And there's nowhere to go think about that, right? Yeah. There was never going to be a better country than America for us. We're Americans. I mean, I'm a Michigander through and through. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have work to do here on our state regardless after. I'm hoping Trump wins and helps take care of some of our problems regarding our governor, who he is not a fan of. So at least we have that going for us. But yeah, it's scary times. It is. And I think that everybody during this time could take a real good look and find hope and encouragement. And they should get out and over to JustinBarclay.com and Amazon and get the good news. Get the good news book with me, you guys, and we'll have a little book review on it.
One other piece of good news for you, and this is just something to think about. I sat with Dr. Ben Carson was here for an Oakland County Republican Lincoln dinner, and I sat down with him. I sat right next to him. I don't know how that happened, but I got lucky. I sat right next to him. I was having this conversation, and you know, he's telling me about back of the – right behind the ear here. You know, this is what he does, brain surgeon, and for kids. He said there's a little area that the blood pools back here, and he said – if your chest had been a little off, he said, that bleeds very quickly. And I don't think people realize, not just for the president, it's not for him and his family and for us and the election, but for the country, where we would be right now if it wasn't so. Pastor Lorenzo Sewell at 180 Church there in Detroit, where the president had come and met with people, and he actually spoke at the RNC. He calls it the millimeter miracle. Mm-hmm. I believe God's hand was on him. I don't see it any other way. I believe that it takes more faith to say that was just a coincidence than to say that God's hand and there was divine intervention there. And I believe that God wouldn't have spared his life for him to go on and lose.
Mm-mm.
So I believe he's going to win, but I don't necessarily know how it all works out. I just believe that. And Carson said, when I told him that, he goes, wow. He goes, I didn't think about that. He said, you know, I'm going to tell him next time. And so but I think he knows that. I think he understands the weight. Talking with Eric about that last week. And I haven't spoken with the president since the failed assassination attempt, but multiple times before. He definitely gets the gravity of the situation, but I think there's something extra that's added to this now that that gives me that hope and encouragement for where we're headed.
Beautiful. Amen. I'm with you. Watching that occur as a nation in real time was witnessing a miracle. I don't care what anyone else has to say about that. That was a full witness of God's protection. And the photo that got me isn't the most popular one. The photo that got me the most was him on the ground, the shot where it's like between somebody's legs or something and, you know, and he's dripping and there's this solaceness of, thank you, Jesus, I'm alive. I got hit and stands up with these, you know, epic words of fight, fight, fight and gets out of there. And I just thought to me, this is the bravest man ever to not crawl off there, to not allow them to carry him out of there, to get back up on stage like within a week, less than, and
here in Michigan,
it shows up into like a swing state of all places. You know, I just thought, wow, like I loved you before, but now this is like a love of God's miracle on top of that we're witnessing. And I feel the same. There's no other reason. And I've watched what I consider him growing on his walk with God, right? And I remember the first time I really saw a spiritual Trump was when they were building that church and he was in office and he takes the Bible and he holds it up. And I'm like, you know, he's standing outside of this church that these horrible BML or the rioters in general had burnt down in DC. And it was this historical church. I can't remember the name. And I just thought right then, look at this man with this Bible. Like, he's a man with God right now. This isn't even just presidential. This is a man who cares about the safety of what God preserved for us, you know? And I just thought, wow, this is something I was interested. I didn't see him as a spiritual leader before that moment. And all of a sudden, he has this growth with God. And I think a lot of it is him also realizing he's, you know, built for more than just America.
The Lord uses very flawed people over and over and over again. And thank God, because if we weren't redeemed, if we couldn't be, no hope for me, you know.
Same.
But look what he can do for somebody like Donald Trump. And not to say that he was some bad person before, but certainly he lived a different life. And it is for such a time as this, each one of us. And he certainly has his role to play.
Yeah. Well, I'm so grateful you were here today, Justin. I really am. And getting to know my fellow Michigander has been absolutely amazing. So I hope you'll reach out if you have anything at all you ever want to do or need help
you
with.
Can count on that. Road.
Absolutely.
You can count on that. Yeah, for sure.
And I will be here. And you guys, I'm serious. I want everybody to head on over and get his new book with me, and we can do a book review on it. And once we get it done, you never know, the author might come back and say a few words to y'all.
Sure.
So until then, we're going to be on what, 9:10 a.m.? Is that what it is?
Yeah. 9:10 a.m. in Detroit, and in Grand Rapids, it's News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM. But you can find all those places when you go to justinbarclay.com.
That's where you guys need to go then. That's where I'm going to be headed to. We're going to get
we
that over.
We stream the show every day from 6 till about 10:30 every day. We're streaming the full show. So
I caught you on Twitter. I was like, yes. Here he is. I found him on X, you know. I'm all over the place and very random on X. So I just happened to get in there and catch you. And I was like, this is good. You had me glued. You're very good at your job and what you do. And you also walk away feeling a little bit fulfilled, if that makes sense. Just a little more peacefully fulfilled. And I actually told our mutual friend Tony that I thoroughly enjoyed your show the other night. Yeah.
That's the goal.
You're really good at it. And we need that. So you're a real gift and a blessing. And I just want to say thank you for being here today with us.
Thank you, Joey. Right? Keep up the fight.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm going to say what I always say here on our close. We're going to go out on General Flynn's movie. You guys are going to click the link down below. We're going to free Justin up. And I'm going to say God bless you all. God bless POTUS 45. God bless America. I'm just Jody. We are Patriots Helping Patriots, and we are going to see y'all soon.
President's former National Security Advisor and General Michael Flynn pleading guilty to lying to the FBI.
Flynn knew exactly how the system worked. He knew exactly what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding. They had to get rid of Flynn.
There was a moment where I just felt like I was drowning. And so I'm in there with these other political appointees. They're all supposed to go in there and tell what they believe to be the truth. What they did was they took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
He was, by definition, the most dangerous possible person for Donald Trump to hire.
President Obama said, but I do have one specific recommendation. Stay away from Michael Flynn. He's bad news.
Over time, instead of being pounded down below the surface of the ocean, we started to fight. I'm now above the surface.